If you turn with me, book of Acts, please, chapter number 17, the book of Acts. I want to read the first few verses. Let's pay close attention to what it says. In verse 1, it says, "Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a king synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went into them, and 3 days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received. And these all do contrary to decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people." Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank you so much that we can gather this evening, gather in your name, and we can hold your book. We can read his marvelous pages and preach from it. We pray that tonight, for the anointing of the Spirit of God, not only to this preacher, but to these people, that we might gain from you, that you might do something in our soul that is needed. Lord, I know that tonight that there's needs of all sorts that set in this room. And though, Lord, there's not many of us, yet there are many needs. And so I pray that you might bless and work in these moments and that you'd be glorified from it in Christ's name. Amen. We find something, that is, that the gospel, when it's preached, is always the same in its reactions. There's one of two things that happen. We find some will believe and some do not. It's just written down. It's just the way that it is. We find here in this account the story of two different cities, that of Thessalonica and Berea. And in these two cities, we find unveiled why people react the way they do. Now think about it for a few moments. In both cities, they heard the preaching of the Apostle Paul. They heard the same message. We read some of the message here as it dealt with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had the same messenger. Both had those that believed. And yet there was a difference. And what is that difference? What is the difference between the Thessalonican people and the Bereans? Why did many of the Thessalonians move with envy? Why did the Bereans more readily receive the word of God? We find that it tells us here that the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Now, generally, we would consider nobility to be our position at birth. We would think of kings and princesses and queens, and we'd think of all these different ones. But verse number 11 clarifies the reason of their nobility. And we see that in the latter portion of the verse. So let's look at this again. Verse 11 says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Does not mean they weren't noble in Thessalonica. It means these were more so. And here's why. In it they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. They received the word with readiness of mind. Their predisposition was to listen and consider, not just simply to dismiss something because it was new. We find, secondly, that says they searched the scriptures daily to verify what they heard. That is something very needed in our society and even amongst God's people. Now, I believe we can learn some things from these few verses tonight. I believe we can get some critical understanding of what it takes, that what needs to take place when we give the gospel. Understand a few things. So first of all, I would like to say this, and that is, not all that hear, listen. Not all that hear, listen. I remember years ago, Dan Allen on the hillside at camp saying, if you hear something, listen to it. At the time, I did not understand what he meant. But here was a man of wisdom teaching me something very valuable. Now, you and I, we communicate by speaking and by hearing. Is that not true? Hearing is the ability to perceive sound. And matter of fact, it's an involuntary physical activity. So what do you mean involuntary? It happens whether you want it to or not. This morning, about 6:30, I'm still late in bed, and I hear something go woof, woof, almost every morning. And my dog hears something and goes nuts for a little while. And I do not want her doing that. I don't like hearing that in the morning. It's involuntary physical activity that takes place. There's no conscious effort that required. Hearing is one of the five senses, and it happens all of the time. Some of you know this, but my aunt, my mother's sister, was deaf. She was born deaf, and she married a deaf man. His name was Harold Evans. Now, there was something unusual about Harold, and that was that after a period of time, they found out that they could give him a hearing aid. This was all kind of brand new technology back in the 40s and 50s. And so they fitted him with a hearing aid, but he wouldn't wear it. And they asked him, why won't you wear it so you can hear things? He said, it's too noisy. He could shut it off. Don't you wish sometimes when you're in a crowded place that you could just shut it all off? Don't you wish sometimes you were like a grandma or grandpa that doesn't hear anything and it can go, well, crazy? But we find that we have speech and hearing. Listening, on the other hand, means to pay attention, to something, to hear something with thoughtful consideration. It's more than just hearing. It's thinking about what you are hearing. As a result of people hearing but not listening, communication is often interrupted and non-existent. I'm sure in this room, nobody raised your hand, nobody nods your head, nobody pokes somebody next to you, but I'm sure that many a spouse hears the other one but doesn't listen. Not a time for amens. But it's true. I think the same thing is many children with their parents, and parents can say amen now. And they speak, but nobody's listening. They hear it, but nobody's listening. Isn't it amazing how your children can hear the very simplest little things, except when you tell them to take the garbage out? And all of a sudden, their hearing has collapsed. The reason is they're not listening. Now, there's some reasons why many people hear and few listen. One of the reasons is that when people are communicating with one another, they are too busy preparing a response. They'd rather talk than listen. I've known a number of people, you can just see it when you're talking to them, they're just waiting for a place to butt in. I mean, if you take a breath, they're going to be in there talking. And it's just, they very seldom listen to what is being said, but they want to talk. And sometimes they're trying to defend themselves or whatever. Another reason is that we are so easily detracted. Understand something tonight. Our thought speed is faster than our listening speed. We can think faster than we can listen. For instance, how many times are you on the telephone and doing something else like driving? I mean, how many of you are doing something else like cleaning or perhaps writing or checking your email all while talking on the telephone? I want you to understand something, and that is, though we might hear what is being said, we cannot really listen when we're multitasking. You say, I don't believe that. I can do it. No, you can't. It's been proven otherwise. You go from one to the other. Some people learn how to do it very quickly, but at the same time, it just does not work. There's a man by the name of Dr. William Lane. He's an expert in verbal and nonverbal communication skills. And he has a few remarks about what makes for effective listening. Understand, we are dealing with people, and they hear us, but they don't listen. And some of the problem is right here and what needs to be done. And I say these tonight because oftentimes we hear and we do not listen. But we need to focus, number one, we need to focus on finding meaning in what we hear. Think of listening as paying attention to learn something. It's not just allowing sounds to go through our ears. It means to concentrate on the words that are spoken. Understand information through your involvement in the conversation. And be alert to how the words are spoken. One of the great things that you can do, for instance, in a church service, is to take notes. You say, I don't know what to write down. Well, if you're busy trying to write something and listening, you might be listening instead of just hearing words go through. And folks have said that to me. I've said, well, write down the things you didn't know before. One guy says, well, I'll be writing really fast all night long. And maybe that'd be so. But focus on the meaning in what you hear. Secondly, do not interrupt. Don't interrupt. Avoid finishing sentences for or talking over the person who is speaking. You get in a crowded room. I get all my family together, and man, I'll tell you what, the volume goes up. What's happening? One's speaking, another wants to speak, another one, in order to be heard, has to speak a little louder, and pretty soon another little louder. And I mean, the volume get up there in the decibels. It happens. And don't laugh at my family. Yours does it too. But don't interrupt. Another thing to do, according to this expert, is to ask open-ended questions. Listening requires being at a highly involved level. By asking who, what, where, when, and how questions that pertain to what the speaker is talking about demonstrates that you're listening and want to learn more. Listen. What was the difference between these? Well, one heard, but we find certainly the Bereans, they received the word with readiness of mind. What's that mean? They were listening. They were listening. Number two, not all that listen, study. Not all that listen, study. So what do you mean by that? Well, we find here that it said they search the scriptures daily. They studied the words of the apostle in light of the scriptures. Very important. Somebody says, what are you going to preach on? I want to read it before I get to church. Well, that's good if you get that opportunity, but wouldn't it be good that afterwards you can go back and look it up and see for yourself and allow it to become your own? It is here, by the way, that we lose many and they don't get saved. You say, what do you mean? Well, they can't study that which they don't know. They have no biblical background on which to build. You go back to Hosea, and he says this about the people of Israel, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, and thou shalt not be no priest to me. Wow. Somehow we expect to throw a few verses at people and expect them to pray the sinner's prayer and do so with complete dependence. But what are they depending upon? It takes a concerted effort. We work together in this whole process. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to Corinthians, says, I have planted Apollos water, but God gave the increase. And so there takes much in this thing. It means that we must teach some very elementary doctrines. People need to understand there's a creator. People need to understand he created the world. He created all the heavens and the earth. Do you realize that there are millions of people who've never heard that and don't even know that? They think somehow there was an explosion and man came into being. It's sad what takes place. They don't know about the fall of man. They didn't understand the inherent sinfulness of men. They don't realize because of their sinfulness against an almighty God that they need forgiveness. One of the things I've learned from our missionaries in recent years in talking to them about their field, more and more as they go to the field, they are recognizing that before they ever give them the gospel, they got to go back and teach them the elementary, the basis, go to the book of Genesis and teach them who the Creator is, what he made, and help them understand about all of that which is God, so that they might know who he is, what he expects. They have a concept of God. There's religion throughout the world, but they need to hear the truth. And from that, then they can build and give them the gospel. Just to walk in and to preach to them, you need to get saved, pray the sinner's prayer. Listen, many will comply and you'll think you won the world to Christ. Let me illustrate. When I was in Bible college, one of the popular things at that time was there were many mission trips down to the nation of Mexico. It's easy accessible. You could cross the border. You didn't have passports and all that business. And basically, you smiled at the guard and went on through. And you could go down and you could preach to those people. And people came back and they reported where there was 300, 400, and 500 people get saved in a week's time with just a handful of folks preaching. And we all would go, wow, what a blessing that is. Years later, I'm thinking to myself, why has not Mexico been won to Christ by now? What's going on? What is happening? And I sat down with Brother Steve Zeiner, and he told me something very significant. He said, you understand that the Mexican people are very compliant. They will do anything you ask. And so what takes place is they basically add Jesus to their list of gods. That happens worldwide. And it's a real shame. We need to be ready to show them from Scripture what we believe. Did you hear that? Show them from Scripture what we believe. Recently, I had a man who disagreed with me simply on the basis of who taught him. He said, well, I was taught this way. He had no idea as to what the Scriptures actually said about it. When I pointed out to him a simple rule of English, he refused to check it in the light of the Word. And how we need to be a people, we can point these things out. Will some believe? Amen. Will some reject? Yeah, it does. But what does all that mean to me? What does that mean to me? I think it means I must be aware to use Scripture and invite men to do the same. I dare not be lazy in this endeavor. We must be able to share with them the Word of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen? And we need to understand. We need to study it. We need to have some understanding of it. We need to have more than one verse in our repertoire. You say, well, study is hard for me. It's hard for everybody. I'm amazed how some people can know every basketball and football score, every person in lineups for 10, 15, 20 years, and not have two or three verses in their minds. It tells me something. We can do it. And we need to also understand this. It means to me, we must be able, or they must be able, to verbalize it back to me. One of the best things you can do with your children is, when you've given them instructions, have them repeat it to you. See, what's the point of that? One of the greatest things that happens is when something is not mine any longer, but it's theirs. It is not my words, it's their words. It's not my thoughts, it's their thoughts. As my children grew up, and as they began to get into late teen years, and some development began to take place, one of the greatest things that I looked at and marveled at was that now it became theirs. It wasn't daddy's any longer. It was something that was real in their heart. And that's a great need. Listen, if it's not real in somebody's heart, are they going to get saved? I think it also means that I ought not be discouraged by those who won't listen. I need to remember that most didn't listen to the Lord, nor to his apostles. I mean, can we stop and think, how many were really there when it came time for Jesus to die? How many were in the upper room? How many were really busy about the Father's work? And I think there's one other thing, that I must still, this is on the other side of the equation, I must still try the spirits as to whether they be of God. In other words, I need to search the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. If I hear something, I need to make sure that it's from the Word of God. Sometimes that takes a lot of work. Sometimes it takes a long time. But it's well worth it. And that's what it means to me. We look here, and what was the difference? Well, they were more noble in Berea than they were in Thessalonica. Why? They received the word with all readiness of mind. They just didn't hear it, they listened. Not only did they listen, but they studied. It says, search the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. As we mentioned, many societies, many places don't have the Scriptures from which to study, but we need to give them that so that they can. And that they can realize that what we say comes from God. Let's go to prayer tonight, and we'll be dismissed. Father, we thank you so much this evening for the privilege of the Word of God. Lord, we thank you that we can give forth the truth of this book. And we pray, oh God, that you give us understanding of it, that we might portray it correctly and adequately in the lives of others. Oh God, you bring people into our before us day after day. And so often we have so little to say. God, make that a different scenario. God, we might be so filled with your Spirit, so filled with your Word, we cannot help but speak forth the truth. Pray that you might bless folks as we go into this new year. Oh God, that we might have our focus reestablished, that we might go forward for the things of God. Bless and work in hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.